This is In the Room with Sean Clancy.
I'm Sean Clancy, and I'm in the room with jockey Tom Garner. A steeplechase jockey, Tom plies his trade on both sides of the water, riding in his homeland, England, in the winter, and America in the spring, summer, and fall. He has carved his notch in the jockey colony here, winning the Grade 1 Stakes aboard Winston C. and Rashawn, and is presently tied at the top of the standings. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Hi, Sean. Nice to be here.
You enjoyed a stellar run on the final weekend in May, winning four and losing a photo in the fifth, which someday we'll get over. What's that like for a jockey? Do you feel the confidence building when days are going like that?
Yeah, of course. Confidence is everything when it comes to race riding and through obviously past experience. And you definitely ride better when there's confidence behind you. And I'm lucky enough to be getting on some really nice horses, so that helps massively. And with confidence as well, that people are having the confidence in me to ride these nice horses is another help. So it's definitely going well, and I'm looking forward to everything going forward.
Yeah, you've filed a long list of European jockeys to come here over about the past decade. Take us through that decision to come here. I mean, your career was going well in England, but to talk us through the decision to come here.
Well, I sort of came on off. I actually came over here on an off chance. I ride a lot in Europe during the summer, as well as England, obviously. But England quiets down. It was real quiet for me during the summer because none of my trainers have really summer jumpers, and I was quiet enough with regards to Europe, with regards to Czech Republic and places where I spend most weekends in the summer. And I decided to come over to work for Graham Ocean, just ride out for recommendation of someone. And when I was over here, unfortunately, it was the year. Paddy Young had a bad fall, and I ended up picking a few rides up for Leslie. Really enjoyed it riding around Saratoga, and I ended up then making a few contacts and selling some horses from England over here, and kept the rides on them. So came back and sort of had a lot of success, and I just thought it's time to make a decision to do something else. And with the prize money in England being how it is, I wasn't really making a living. I was riding plenty, but at the same time, going up and down the land in England for £150, you're not really making a lot of money day in, day out. And I took the decision to apply for a visa, and to be honest with you, I haven't looked back since. It's made a very successful decision for me.
Yeah, Winston C is probably the highlight. I mean, you sold the horse to the connections and then won two Grade Ones. What's that feeling like?
Yeah, great. Winston was definitely sort of potentially the best horse when I did the deal. I did it with a very good friend of mine, Noel Feely, who's obviously an ex-jockey. He's who's an amazing rider to watch growing up, and he taught me a lot. And I'm now good friends with him, and he put the horse onto me, and I think the horse was bought straight after entry, finishing fourth or fifth in the Grade One novice hurdle, and did the deal. He came over and he ran in the novice at Nashville, and then went straight to Saratoga. And he could have run in the novice at Saratoga, but they took the decision to run him in the Smithwick, and it paid off. And yeah, selling the horse over here and then winning both Grade Ones in New York was sensational. It was my first. I rode a Group One winner in Italy, but to ride a Group One in America on my first season over here was amazing, and to win two up in New York was sensational. Yeah, so it was it definitely made it very special. Yeah,
and take us back to the beginning, growing up in England. Is riding races, was that always something you wanted to do, or how did that come about?
Well, I grew up with horses. My stepmom used to have a stud farm up in North Wales, and I grew up hunting. And so I live in Gloucestershire, not far from Cheltenham. So I grew up with the likes of Sam Tristan Davis and lads around there, and just hunting and sort of show jumping. But to be honest with you, I always enjoyed going fast, and the adrenaline of jumping obstacles was always something that I enjoyed the most. And I wanted to be a jockey ever since sort of I started riding, really. And growing up, sort of watching AP McCoy and, like I mentioned, Noel and Leighton Aspel was a great help. But yeah, it was always on the agenda. And I worked with some great people in England, including Oliver Sherwood, who taught me a lot. And yeah, I owe a lot to the people that I sort of grew up watching and grew up working for. So, but yeah, it was always on the card, especially as I'm a Gloucester as well, live near Cheltenham watching this festival every year, skiving off school to watch the festival every year. So it's something that I dream to do. And thankfully, I'm living the dream.
For sure. Yeah, and you've done it great. I mean, you've traveled the world riding races and had fun doing it. What's it like dealing with the ups and downs of being a jockey, especially a jump jockey? I mean, you obviously more ups and downs, literally, being a jockey. But what's that like? And has that been something that, you know, has been easy or tough? Or what's that like for you?
Yeah, look, yeah, the ups are great. But unfortunately, in this game, you have a lot more downs. And I've been riddled with injuries, really, throughout my career. I first broke my collarbone on Hennessy a day at Newbury, which was quite a bad break. I had to have an operation on it. And then from then on, I was riddled with broken collarbones. I came back too soon on a couple and one fall. I think I've broken my left collarbone. I think I broke that. I think that's now 13 times and my right one once.
Wow.
So I've been riddled with collarbone injuries. I've broken my leg. My left leg, which was my tib, fib, and ankle, I did that actually. I actually had a stint riding on the flat when my weight was good in the summer, previous to coming to America, and a horse came out of the stall at Charlie Hills's, and it was a two-year-old at Colt. It went one way, and I went the other, and I just it was a soft enough fall, but the ground was quick, and it landed awkwardly, and that put me out for a while. Broken a couple of vertebrae. So it's definitely got its downs, and like I've always... Staying sound is the main thing, really, for a jump jockey because, like, any time I'm off through injury, then other people are getting on horses that I could be potentially riding. And I know, like, people benefit from other injuries. It's just a game, you know. But the highs have definitely made it worthwhile, as well, obviously, the grade ones. And I actually came back to ride Winston after breaking the collarbone a week later. And the second grade one on him, I did it at the Colonial the Saturday before, and I grimmed and bared it and rode with a broken collarbone at Saratoga, and thankfully he won. And then that year I took a few weeks off, came back, rode a winner here, and then went to the Pardubice and finished second, and then came back here, and the Monday after I broke it again. So it's
wow.
I've definitely had my fair share of injuries. So as long as I stay sound and the horses stay sound, then that's the main thing that's be a positive if everything goes right, you know.
For sure. And mentally, how do you deal with it? I mean, we've touched upon it, you know, just getting down and you know, especially when you're getting hurt and things, losing races and getting hurt and things like that. I mean, how hard is that for you?
Yeah, mental health is a massive thing in this sport, especially when you've got the injuries, you've got the horses not running well, and you've also got the social media side of it, especially in England where the betting public decides to take them on themselves to write nasty things on social media. And I haven't had as bad as a lot of people. I've been quite lucky that it's every day in, day out, people get abusive messages on Instagram and Twitter about horses not running well or jockeys making mistakes and even death threats to some jockeys just purely because someone's lost money on them. It's not good for anyone's mental health when you're reading that sort of things. And I've had my fair share of sort of... and feeling down and stuff, and I think I'm quite lucky to deal with it. I deal with it in quite a positive way, but I know a lot of people deal with it differently, and actually something that's becoming more and more sort of known about. I think people know about it more and more these days than they did sort of 10 years ago, and there's actually something coming out that Nathan Horrocks, who used to be a jockey, now produces films and stuff. He's actually done recently, it's yet to be released, but he's actually done a piece on mental health for jockeys, and something I just touched on with social media, and that's something that will be out in, I'd say, the next couple of months. I've seen the full episode because we actually were background, we were extras in it, a few of my fellow jockeys, and it hit the nail on the head, and I can't wait for people to see that, and hopefully people take note of it and stop with the social media abuse and things, because it's definitely, mental health is everything, really. And it's not nice when someone is feeling down. Yeah, I hope people take note.
No question. Talk to us about a friend, James Banks. I know he's a dear friend of yours and a jockey who we lost far too young.
Yeah, 3rd of February last year, I got a phone call that James had taken his own life. He was one of my best friends. We did everything together, really. And he was one of the people I owe a hell of a lot to for my riding. We first worked at Alan King's together, and then really the rest was history. We were best mates sort of for going on 8-10 years, really. He was a great jockey. He retired. He couldn't really deal with it mentally. He hit a bit of a rough patch and was drinking quite a lot. His mental health, which I really didn't know about. Didn't know that he was sort of in that way, and unfortunately it got the better of him and he took his own life. And yeah, it hit me very hard I still think about him every day. And actually, when I rode Rashan last year, he was the first person I thought about when I crossed the line. And previously before that, we lost Liam Treadwell to mental health as well, who Liam and I carried James in to the funeral. So that was another stellar blow to lose such a good guy like Liam. And obviously his riding, he rode the Grand National winner in one moment. So for a guy to go from such a high in such a short time to being mental health, to get the mental health getting the better of him is something that was just massive shock. And yeah, it's just heartbreaking, really. And fortunately, I thought after James, we learned a massive lesson, and clearly, obviously, didn't. Mental health, no matter how you're feeling, it's going to be, they're not going to be the last, unfortunately, which is a bit of a strong thing to say, but I thought James would teach a massive lesson, and then obviously what happened to Liam was devastating. So it's something that's quite close to my heart, the mental health side of it, just purely because it's, I think I owe it to James and Liam.
No doubt. What does the sport do in England to help jockeys mentally, and what can we do here?
Well, we have the PGA have set up. They've been working alongside a lot of people, a lot of charities for years now. But obviously, after the recent events, they've taken quite a lot of forward regards to getting professional help for anyone that's feeling down and in that mindset. But the worst thing is, like the likes of Liam had the help, which is the worrying thing. He'd had the help previously to when he retired and came back riding, and he was actually riding, but it was during lockdown that he took his own life. So I think that was probably a massive part of it. But yeah, the PGA, which is the Professional Jockeys Association in England, they work with a lot of charities called, I think Mind is one of them, and there's Sporting Chances. And it's just getting the help and being able to, the lads being known there's someone to talk to, with a 24-hour line that we can ring up any time and just talk to people. And then I'll be open and say I've spoken to, actually this winter, I spoke to someone about it just purely because I hadn't got over James, and I don't think I ever will. And I actually just talked to someone about it, and I was on the phone for a couple of hours, and it really helped me, and I actually put another fellow rider onto them not long after, and obviously confidentially, I spoke to him after and didn't mention to anyone that he was getting that help, and it really helped him. And it's just looking out for people and being able to be like letting them know that the help is there, and just talking to someone was helped me massively. I'd openly admit I spoke to someone not long ago, and it helped me, and it could help a lot of people. It's just getting the people know that the help is there and they're not alone, you know?
Well, I'm with you right there, Tom. I'll openly say the same thing. I've talked to people a few times when I was getting down, and I think being a jockey, I still do it occasionally, even when we're running horses. I'll say to myself, well, I'll be okay because this horse is running Saturday, and if he wins, that'll pick me up. And it's a really tricky cycle you get on as a jockey, kind of living for that, you know, for those highs, and it almost becomes part of your life. And I think that does, you know, it's hard. It's very difficult. And I think it's hard too when you do retire, then you don't even have that. So it's a very strange time when you do retire.
The main thing that I find is obviously, I think racing is living a bit in the dark ages. And obviously being a jockey is very independent. You're basically self-employed. You're running your own business. You're not like you're on a football team where you have a team of physios, you have a team of sort of sports psychologists that you could talk to at a drop of a hat. You're very much an individual, and you almost put a lot of pressure on yourself to get rides, as well as obviously maintaining weight, which is sweating and maintaining weight. And a lot of people do maintain weight for the wrong, like doing it the wrong ways, you know, with regards to flipping and fasting quite soon instead of eating properly. So there's so many aspects to the sport that we're in, and the sport that we love, that we can change. Like even the PGA, we have a nutritionist. We have a whole team of nutritionists we can speak to in regards to eating well and performing well is massive. And I find we're very lucky in England to have the network that's set up in regards to the Injured Jockeys Fund, where we have now three rehabilitation centres called Oaks House, Peter O'Sullivan House and Jack Berry House, where they have gyms, they have a team of physios, they have doctors that we refer to after injuries, and everything to that is all helps mental health, everything. So in America, I think there's a lot that can be done regards to, say, charities set up to get people the help to any aspect regards to sort of nutritionists, mental health support, psychologists, and even sort of personal trainers and getting people into sort of rehabbing on injuries. And I don't really know much about the flat guys over here, that what they do after injuries and how they rehab themselves. But in England, it's second to none. And I hope that we can help set something up here that going forward, that it'll be easy access for every jockey in the country over here.
That's Tom Garner on a somber subject, but an important one. Thanks for sharing your story, Tom. We really, really appreciate your honesty and openness about that.
No problem, Sean. It's great talking to you.